And it's time now for Oh the Humanities, talking about humanities scholarship, research, and events on campus, and in this case, just off campus. More on that in just a minute. We are joined in the studio, as always, by Max Orr, who heads up Carolina Public Humanities. Find them online at humanities.unc.edu. Max, as always, good to be with you. How are you?
Great to be here. Post-Labor Day, no excuses. We're really in the grind.
We have to do work now.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going for it. So I bring you a gift. Today is September 9th. I want to bring you something related to today's date. And in 1965, the Department of Housing and Urban Development was founded. It actually was founded in act in August, but they actually opened its doors in September 9th, 1965. And the reason I bring that up is that you could imagine that when they were coming up with this new department in the executive branch of the government, they must have had to think, why are we doing this? What is the philosophical reason for this? What is the
Somebody probably had that thought.
What is the political ramifications of this and costs of doing this? And then, of course, you know, what is the economic benefit for the government, for the country, for the individuals who will be helped by the Housing and Urban Development Department? So
it's almost as if you're trying to bring philosophy, politics, and economics together
somehow. And I think to myself, if there was only some way that we could bring these things together in a real form. In a formula here, and luckily here at the University of North Carolina, we have not only an organization that is dedicated to that, but a person who is dedicated to that, someone you know well, Aaron, and that is Jeff Sarah-McCord, and he's the Moorhead Kane Alumni Distinguished Professor of Philosophy at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, but he's also the director of the PPE program, which covers just these questions. And boy, I don't know what else to say, but welcome.
Welcome. How are you?
Well, you're responsible for HUD. Yeah.
I remember when HUD was established, just barely, but...
There you go. Were there political and philosophical and economic discussions you remember around it?
There were certainly discussions of justice. Mm-hmm. The whole institution was based on the view that there were demands of justice that were not being met. And there's just no doubt at all that in thinking about how to structure it, what domain to give it, there were political and economic considerations playing a huge role. So the impetus was a concern of justice to address needs of citizens, but you can have that concern, and how you try to pursue it, with what effects, given what costs and what benefits, that's the story that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah. It's not just what programs should we have, but how should they be organized? Who should oversee them?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So just this type of question made us realize, we, as you know, we have Humanities in Action, which is our lecture program every semester. We do it on Tuesdays at 4:30 at Flyleaf Books. And Humanities in Action is meant to take on these topics, contemporary topics that might be controversial or political in essence. And so when we heard about, not only is Jeff Sarah-McCord, Jeff, you've been on Carolina Public Humanities board since the beginning of time, so a good friend of Carolina Public Humanities, but this connection, this is the second semester that we've asked to team up with the PPE program to bring the faculty affiliated with PPE, some of whom are visiting faculty, which is really exciting for us, to tackle policy issues. And so if you go to humanities.unc.edu, you'll see a whole range of topics that we'll be covering, starting tomorrow with George Vanberg, professor of political science from Duke, who will be coming over and talking about democracy and the will of the people and reviewing Rousseau and Condorcet and others in that. So thank you, Jeff, for this. But what do you think is important about having the public engage with these types of questions? Because these could be academic, right? Only academic.
Well, so my own view is it's a deeply important academic pursuit to try to understand how questions of justice, rights, and liberty intersect with institutions and with economic considerations. I think it is an academic topic, and it is one with a long tradition that goes back to Oxford.
Sure.
That was established in 1920, the Oxford PPE program. Mm. At the same time, the idea that gives rise to the academic pursuit is almost every significant political decision we make has economic and moral implications and motivations. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know how to think carefully about how economics and justice and rights and political institutions interact, create perverse incentives, structure opportunities, if you don't pay attention to that, you don't really understand the world that you're living in. And so when you ask, well, why is it important to bring it to the public? It's because I think the area is the area of the understanding of which is crucial to living an informed life if you're living it with other people.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of what democracy is about, right? The first topic is going to be tomorrow on democracy and the difficulty in setting up a voting system to get the will of the people, to identify what the will of the people is. So there's that difficulty. But part of democracy is about discussion and discourse and people getting active and getting engaged and thinking about all of these topics. And it's all about bringing people into that conversation.
That's absolutely right. And there are all sorts of issues about, you know, how does representative government work versus direct democracy? And how do you, if you justify government on the grounds that it expresses the will of the people, you need to figure out who are the relevant people? How do we find out what their will is? How much does that have to do with what they say versus what they vote for? That's a whole slew of issues that are absolutely crucial to the working of democracy. Mm-hmm. Similarly, our next topic is gerrymandering and redistricting. And there again, there are all sorts of issues that people hear about this, but to understand exactly what the options are, how they're chosen, what's at stake, what the implications will be, I think is crucial.
Do you think there's an element in this? A lot of these are sort of abstract concepts in the academic. The idea of the will of the people is an abstract concept, but democratic voting is something you do, a practical act that you do. And do you feel like engaging the public with these questions will help people sort of... Some people contradict what their abstract ideas are with their actions. And is this an element of making people helping people make better choices? Is there any element that that's a goal of the PPE program or just to make better thinking?
I like your optimism in the use of the word some people.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
do that in that sentence. All of us do that most
yes,
of the time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I do believe in the value of transparency, clarity, explicitness. I also think, because of the way human beings are motivated, it's definitely one thing to get an honest view of what you think is good and another thing to put in the work to make it happen. We're not focused. We don't see ourselves as having the mission of making people better. But we do think democracy, social life in general, works much better if you can talk with respect with other people, be clear about your reasons, and be in a position to change your view in light of what you learn. And so a lot of what we do, a lot of the programs we put on, are designed to create contexts where all the views that are in play find a venue where they can be expressed, explored, criticized, defended, revised. And the truth is, I think that does make the world better, even though I don't have a particular view about which views are the ones people should be having. Yeah. At least I don't have in my official capacities at all.
And there's also something to be said for having this conversation and explaining why the views that are being tossed around are in the conversation in the first place. I know in
exactly.
the gerrymandering debate, people who are very upset about gerrymandering were also very upset about the Supreme Court ruling the way that they did a few months ago. There is a specific reason why they ruled that way, and understanding that is part of the larger project of understanding the issue and the way that American government works.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'll give you a sense of a program we did last year mm-hmm. that epitomizes what we're after. There was all this talk about tariffs and trade barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew this was in the air, and people didn't really understand what the history of them is, how they work, when they've been used, why they get used.
Who pays for
effect,
them?
Yep.
Who pays for them? There's a whole range. So we managed, with a lot of help from various people to put together a panel. The panel had a former ambassador to China and former senator. He was both. Crucially important to understand tariffs and trade barriers that we're thinking about now. The chair of the econ department and a representative of American Soybean Growers of America, So we tried to bring together government, academics, and businesses to talk about trade barriers and tariffs. And they were charged, said this is not a debate. Each of you is charged with making sure that everyone walks out of this room better understanding tariffs and trade barriers. And we had a political scientist who's absolutely magnificent, active chair, who worked to tie together what they were saying so as to set up new questions. It was just what we're after. Everybody, no matter what their view was at the start, came out thinking, boy, I learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're after.
I love that approach, the approach of we're putting together these people on a panel. They might have disparate views, but it's not about the back and forth between them. It's about getting that conversation out there so everyone walks out knowing something they didn't before.
Right. And it's not sound bites. Mm-hmm. It's not mere rhetoric. And if they don't bring something substantive to push the discussion forward, it's a failure for us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is it more difficult to do this the more that we become polarized and begin to sort of, knee-jerk reactions to words and concepts that we have? Has this project become more difficult? You certainly mentioned this has been around, the notion of putting these three together from Oxford in the 1920s. Is it always an effective tool? Is it always just as effective, whatever era that you put it into practice? Or is it more difficult?
Well, I think I don't know enough to say whether it's how it compares over a breadth of time. I think what we're finding is it's easier now than it was when we started. And part of the reason is I think people crave the opportunity to do more, to talk more successfully with other people. And I think that's true of pretty much everybody we've experienced. We've been involved in something called the Red Blue Workshops, which is run by Better Angels. I believe we were the first college campus to hold their Red Blue Workshops and hold them for students, not members of a broader community. And the interest in participating by students is really strong. And when they participate, the pleasure in having had the opportunity in an environment to talk about the issues they disagree about, to understand their misconceptions about the people they think they oppose, is tremendously valuable. So if anything, I'd say people's heightened awareness of being in an environment where there aren't these opportunities has made PPE easier to convince people.
You can escape from
the, want to do this.
You can escape from the polarization a little bit and get into a little bit of real discussion, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's right. You know, our courses are designed for that. They're opportunities where people can explore controversial ideas, knowing that's the game we're all in. That's this. We're not taking a stand, and no matter what, we're exploring it.
Which is nice. Humanities in Action on Tuesdays, is that's been always one of our trying to run a public humanities program in which a lot of the topics that we do bring up, you know, emotional resonance with them. And we always try to say, you know, our goal here is not to be, you know, painting campaign signs at the end or rally signs, but to just come away with a deeper sense of the issue and the deeper sense of the topics and really try to bring those into your own formulations of your own ideas later. That's a tricky part, though, isn't it? They leave there, I mean, it's, you're not going for a better person, but they leave there better informed and maybe make some, or do some thinking before they act politically or economically.
As an educator, I am committed to the thought that we're better off knowing more in general, not in every case, not about everything in particular. So I do think putting yourself in a position to better understand your positions, what makes them reasonable, what the worries are about them, makes you a more autonomous person, a person freer from mere influence to make decisions for yourself. Now, that's a, that means I think it makes people better off by making them freer. That's a little bit different by saying it makes them better people, because it's a different issue how they use that freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I do have a lot of faith in our capacity to think through things with integrity and work more or less to live accordingly.
Speaking with Max Orr and Jeff Sarah McCord, we've got to wrap up this conversation. Other things that people need to know about the PPE program, Humanities in Action, ppe.unc.edu. And anything more about upcoming events?
Get involved. Humanities in Action Tuesday starts tomorrow. You can find out information. You can pay at the door if you want. All UNC students, faculty, and staff, and also Duke UNC students and staff and faculty, because of the PPE connection, can attend for free. Line up, sign up, get involved.
And also in the spring, we're going to have a large public lecture by Arthur Brooks. He's the former director of AEI, now a Harvard professor and author of Love Your Enemies.
Maybe we can have you come back and talk about that.
Oh, that'd be great.
I would enjoy it.
ppe.unc.edu for more on the Philosophy, Politics, and Economics program, more on Humanities in Action. And again, this series begins tomorrow, Flyleaf, 4:30 at humanities.unc.edu. Jeff Sarah McCord, Max Orr, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you very much.